Tonight on Old Time Radio Drama, comedy from Duffy's Tavern from 1945. We'll have the FBI in Peace and War, Lives of Harry Lime starring Orson Welles in The Painted Smile, the Mole Mystery Theater from 1946, and at about 10:30 we'll venture into the inner sanctum with a story called The Black Art from 1945. I'm Norman Gilliland. We'll start outdoors with adventure and Mark Trail. But can it be Mark's dog, Andy, killing sheep? Mark's friends, we'll find, are not as supportive as we might expect. And in order to prove Andy's innocence, Mark has to take his toughest assignment, the capture of Whisperfoot. Our story is called Killing Sheep. It comes from February 15th, 1950.
Kellogg's Pep! Kellogg's Pep, the build-up wheat cereal with the prize in every package, invites you to share another thrilling adventure with Mark Trail!
Battling the raging elements, fighting the savage wilderness, striking at the enemies of man and nature, one man's name resounds from snow-capped mountains down across the sun-baked plains. Mark Trail! Guardian of the forests, protector of wildlife, champion of man and nature, Mark Trail!
In the sheep herders' country just north of Lost Forest, a gala celebration is in progress. Mark Trail and Cherry have been invited to a barn dance. The huge barn has been cleared, the floor is waxed down, and everyone is happy and excited as they wait for the music to start.
Having a good time, Cherry?
Oh, wonderful, Mark. I'm so glad these sheep ranchers invited us. I haven't been to a square dance in a long time.
Oh, the caller's going to begin again.
All right, here we go. Take your partners, and here we go. First trail out, take a couple on the rise. Take a look at the northern lights.
Stop dancing! Stop! Listen to me!
Mark, what is it?
It's Cal Harkins, one of the sheep ranchers.
I've just been out to the sheep pens. Five sheep have been attacked and killed.
Whoa. Did you see the killer?
Yeah, I saw the killer.
Who
I
was
saw him
killer?
Running away. It was Mark Trail's dog, Andy.
Well, while proving that his dog Andy is innocent, you can bet that Mark Trail will find plenty of thrills and excitement.
Thrills and excitement that'll be fun to hear, and even more fun if you're in shape to share the excitement. If you feel fit to get the fun out of it. And one sure step toward feeling fit for fun is to make Kellogg's Pep a main part of your breakfast every single day. Kellogg's Pep, the build-up wheat cereal. Wheat in its most delicious form. Toasted flakes of wheat. Ready to eat? Fun to eat. Wonderful with milk and sugar. And because super delicious Kellogg's Pep is a powerhouse of food elements you need to help you build up strength, energy, and nerve, it helps keep you on the winning team in any game or sport. And mark this. Before the show's over, I'll tell you how you can own and operate a model miniature automobile controlled by a secret power that will amaze your friends. Meantime, just remember, if you want to have your fun and eat it too, ask your mother when she goes shopping, bring me a package of Kellogg's Pep. That's Kellogg's Pep!
With the news that Andy has slaughtered five sheep and run away, the excited sheep ranchers run out to the pens. And sure enough, the dead animals are lying on the ground, their throats torn, while the excited sheepmen surround Mark and Cherry.
Crail, I always knew that dog of yours was a killer.
Andy is no killer, Harkins.
Of course he isn't.
I hear, Jeff, and this here dog of yours is already tasted blood, and I hear he killed a deer up north.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Yes, that's right. As a matter of fact, he did. But it was because I ordered Andy to do it. We were up in North Forest, an Indian guide and myself. We were starving, too weak to track any game. Why, we'd have died if Andy didn't find that deer.
But he did kill.
Yes, but it was for food, and Mark's trained Andy
Don't make any difference, Miss Cherry. The dog's tasted blood. And as long as he's running around loose, our sheep aren't safe.
Listen, boys, wait a minute, listen. You're all jumping at conclusions. I know Andy. Why, he's my own dog. Now, I'll admit it looks bad for the moment,
I'll
but
say
I...
it looks bad, Trail. I saw Andy with my own eyes among the sheep. And he ran away, sneaked across the range when I saw him. If he didn't kill those sheep, why did he run away?
But that still isn't proof.
Oh, isn't it, Miss Cherry?
No. Cherry is right, Harkins. Now, if you'd only give Andy a chance, wait till I find him and then...
Not on your life, Trail. We're not aiming to give this killer dog of yours a chance to kill again. We're going to hunt him down and shoot on sight. That right, boys?
That's right, Harkins. We're going
to... All right. We'll start hunting at daybreak.
Oh, Mark, they're going to kill Andy. I've got to find him. I'm going to take one of the horses and look for him.
Cherry! Cherry!
Well, Martha, sure good to be home.
Yeah, Frank. It was a fine barn dance till all that trouble happened, that killer dog and all.
Martha, tell you the truth, I'm a little worried. Sheep out in our pens are all we got in the world.
Yep.
Not enough that we brought them through scabbies and sheep tick, but now with a killer loose on the range.
Well, no use worrying about it. It's late and we'd best be getting to bed.
Yeah, guess you're right.
Frank, what's that?
Something's loose out in the sheep pens, Martha.
You're right.
Quick, Martha, get me my rifle.
Frank, look.
Yes, three lambs. Three of our best Hampshires, slaughtered.
Frank, it must have been that big dog, Mark Trail's dog.
Well, no doubt about it, Mother. If I ever get a chance at that killer, he'll never murder another lamb at night.
Frank, listen. What's that?
Sounds like the whine of a dog. Over there in the corner of the pen.
But it's dark. We can't see it.
Let's move closer. Take a look.
Frank, it's Mark Trail's dog. It's Andy.
Yes, it's a murdering critter, all right.
Look at him. He's all covered with blood.
Get back, Mother.
Frank, what are you going to do now?
No, I'm going to put a bullet through his head with this rifle. I'm going to make this range safe for our sheep once and for all.
Oh, but, Frank, you can't
now,
do anything.
Now, you murdering critter, you've struck down your last...
Frank, wait a minute. Now, don't shoot yet. Someone's coming.
Who?
What? It's that girl from Lost Forest. Cherry!
Mother, you go in the house. I want to handle this alone.
Oh, Andy. Andy, what are they going to do to you? Oh, you're all covered with blood. Oh, Andy, you've been hurt.
Get out of the way, Miss Cherry.
No, please. Please don't shoot him. Give him a chance.
Oh, sure.
Please.
A chance to kill more sheep. Now you're alive.
Oh, please, Mr. Allen. He didn't do it.
Get out of my way, miss. I'm telling you for the last time. Who's that? Who's coming now?
It's Mark. It's Mark Trail. Mark! Mark!
Cherry. Cherry, I've been following you all the way from town. Andy. Oh, Andy, boy, so you're here. Uh-oh. Andy, you've been hurt.
Get out of the way, Trail. I'm putting a bullet into him.
Oh, no, you're not, Alan. Not yet. Cherry.
Yes, Mark.
Cherry, better call the doctor for Andy.
All right, Mark.
And let's not move him till we're sure no bones are broken.
I'll call the doctor right away.
I don't care, Trail. Out in the sheep country, we shoot a killer dog on sight. You know the law of the range.
He didn't kill those lambs, Alan. And I can prove it.
Oh, yeah? How?
Andy's wounded. Slashed across the head and legs. Sheep never fight back when they're attacked, you know that. That means there must have been some other animal in the sheep pen.
All I know is that your dog was the only prowler here.
Alan, I want to hunt down the real killer as much as you do. But before you pass judgment, let's take a look around. Alan, look here.
Huh? Where?
On the ground here, the edge of the corral. There's a track of the dirt. The print of an animal's foot, see?
Now, let me see. It doesn't look like anything to me, Trail. It's blurred.
It's a print, all right. The print of a mountain lion. Hey, wait a minute. Look. Look, Alan. There's a toe missing.
Huh?
Now I know who slaughtered your sheep. And the others near the barn dance.
What are you driving at, Trail?
This is the track of the big mountain lion they call Whisperfoot.
Whisperfoot?
Yes.
That can't be, Trail. Why, that big mountain lion hasn't been around these parts for 2 years. Slaughtered over 100 sheep in his time. They say he had a human mind.
Yes, yes, I know, Alan. But he's come back. You can see that by the paw print.
That doesn't mean a thing to me. It's a blur, it can mean anything. And I'm sure Whisperfoot's dead.
Alan, listen to me.
You listen to me, Trail. I heard enough. I'm going to town and pick up the boys. I'm going to tell them I've got the killer right here.
I tell you, boys, there was a mountain lion in the sheep pen of Allen's here.
And I tell you, Trail, the only killer in the pen was your dog, Andy. Alan here found him dead to rights.
But that track I showed you.
Can't tell a thing by it. It is blurred. Could be almost anything.
Boys, I've trailed practically every kind of game in every part of this country. I know that's the track of a mountain lion. And that missing toe proves it's Whisperfoot.
Whisperfoot?
Yes.
Well, he's been dead for years.
Sure thing. Say he was drowned or fell off a cliff.
Sure, let's kill him.
Now you're right, boys. There's no use waiting. I'm going to finish off this killer right now.
Alan, put your gun away.
No one's going to stop me. Look at that dog staring up at me. If that ain't the devil himself in his eyes.
Don't go near that dog, Alan.
Get your hands off of me. I'll shoot if I want to.
Oh, no, you won't.
Are you?
As Mark hears the shot, his heart leaps into his throat. Slowly, he turns to look at Andy. In a moment, we will continue, so stand by. With Andy's very life at stake, Mark has to call on all his strength, energy, and nerve. If Andy were your dog, a lot would depend on your strength, energy, and nerve. So listen.
Help build up strength. Help build up energy. Help build up strong bones and steady nerves. With that famous build-up wheat cereal, Kellogg's Pep. Whole wheat in its most delicious form. Toasted flakes. That's Kellogg's Pep. Now, no cereal, not even Pep, can make you strong as a strong man after only one or two servings. However, one serving of Kellogg's Pep day after day does add up to a powerhouse of food elements you need to help you build up strength, energy, and nerve. You can skate better, run better, feel fit for fun. And in addition, Kellogg's Pep is a powerhouse of delicious flavor. Yes, sir. Every crisp, toasted flake of marvelous, malty-flavored Pep makes you want to say, more Pep, please. And don't forget that special message I'll have for you later. Learn how you can own a miniature model car and operate it by remote mystery control. Till then, remember, if you want to have your fun and eat it too,
pick Pep the prize package with the powerful powerhouse punch. Pick Pep.
Mark Trail's St. Bernard Andy has been accused of killing sheep. When Frank Allen, one of the sheep ranchers, leaps at Andy with a gun, Mark grapples with Allen. There is a shot, and then...
Give me that gun, Alan. You crazy fool. There.
I'll get another gun, Trail. You're not stopping me.
I'm glad that bullet missed my dog, Alan. I don't think I'd be responsible if it hit him.
Now take it easy, Alan. Take it easy. Maybe we ought to give Trail a chance to clear his dog.
Thanks, Hawkins. Now listen to me, all of you. I hate a killer on the range as much as any of you. But Andy didn't kill those sheep, and I can prove it. Now, I say Whisperfoot's alive, and I'll track him down. But you've got to give me time. I'll have to have time.
How much time do you want?
Well, give me a week to find that killer line, Hawkins.
Oh, no, so long.
Sheep ranchers here won't wait that long, Trail.
We'll give you less than 24 hours. The deadline's sundown tomorrow.
But that's just tonight and all day tomorrow.
Take it or leave it, Trail.
All right. All right, Alan. I'll take it.
They gave you only 24 hours, Mark?
Oh, that's right, Sherry.
But how can you do it? It would take a miracle.
I've got to do it, Sherry. Andy's life is at stake. I've got to prove to them by tomorrow sundown that Whisperfoot is the marauding killer, stalking every sheep pen on the range.
Whisperfoot?
Yes.
Mark, isn't he the big cat they say is almost human?
Yes, Cherry. He's not only a cruel and savage killer, but he's shrewd and cunning. Trailing him down is going to be the hardest assignment I've ever tackled.
Well, Mark, are you going to use traps?
No, I'm not. Ordinarily, Cherry, I'd never use a steel trap, except when I was hunting a killer like Whisperfoot. But even in this case, traps would be useless.
Why?
Well, because Whisperfoot has a toe missing.
Oh.
That means he was caught in a trap once and tore a toe off getting away.
Uh-huh.
Now, that means he's trap shy, and he'll always be on the lookout for them.
Well, then how are you going to trail Whisperfoot?
Well, I've only got one chance, Cherry. One chance in 100. Dogs.
Dogs?
Yes. There's a hunter named Gorman living in Bonanza Valley about an hour from here. He owns a pack of hunting dogs, especially trained for big game. And I'm riding for his place, Cherry, right now.
You want to borrow my dogs to track down that big cat on Trail?
That's right, Gorman. And if I don't bring him in by dawn tomorrow, my dog dies.
I see. And you think old Whisperfoot is alive, huh?
I know he is.
You're a smart woodsman, Trail, and I give you credit. I know he's alive, too. Matter of fact, I've spent a year trying to corner him myself.
Gorman, I haven't much time. If you'll lend me your pack...
Sure. Sure, Trail, I'll be glad to. You can take the pack and bring back Whisperfoot. But on one condition.
What condition?
I don't know if you'll want to do it, if you knew what I had in mind.
Well, Gorman, I have no choice. Andy's life is at stake.
Well, if we catch up with Whisperfoot my way, we still might not be able to bring him back. At least not in time.
Well, what's up your sleeve, Gorman?
It's this way, Trail. I've been offered $5,000 if I deliver a big cat like Whisperfoot. So I'm going to go along on this trip with you.
Why, gosh, I'll be glad to have you. Two guns are better than one.
Oh, no. No shooting.
No shooting? What? Why, Gorman, what do you mean?
We'll be doing the impossible if we do it at all, Trail. A zoo wants Whisperfoot. We must bring him back alive. No sign of Whisperfoot yet, Trail.
No. That cat's got the cunning of a devil, Gorman. We've come a long way.
Yeah. And our horses are getting winded. Have to rest them soon.
Wait, Gorman, I've sworn to get that cat. There's only one thing that worries me.
What's that?
Time. It's been hours since we left the sheep ranch. It'll be dawn soon.
I'll say one thing, Trail.
Yes?
I thought I knew every trick of big game hunting. But you've taught me a few I never knew before. Thought sure we'd lost the trail back where Whisperfoot crossed that gully. But you put the dogs right back on.
Gorman, I've never concentrated so hard in my life to catch a killer. I keep thinking of what the sheep ranches will do to Andy. And, well, I've just got to find that big cat, Gorman. I've just got to. If I don't, I can't...
Trail!
Listen! Gorman, it's Whisperfoot. Let's go! Gorman, rein up a minute. Gorman, look. Look over there.
Yeah, it's Whisperfoot. He's fighting the dogs, Trail.
Yes, and he's killed two of them already.
Trail, he's seen us. He's running toward that chasm. Now he's jumping that chasm to the other side. There he goes. Trail, he's made it. He's jumped clean over to the other side.
Come on, Gorman. There's no time to waste. Gorman, look here. On this edge of the chasm.
Yeah. It's Whisperfoot's lair.
Right. He's been holding up in this cave in the rock. And it's stuffed with sheep bones. Well, that ought to be proof enough for anybody. As to the real sheep killer.
Sure. But what about Whisperfoot himself? Big cat's on the other side of this chasm. It's a long jump. Maybe 15 or 20 feet.
Gorman, we've got to jump. Get across.
Oh, I don't see how. What good if we did? While we figure out how to get across, that cat will gain miles on us.
No, no, we won't. A mile or so past this chasm is the Wilco River. Mountain lions won't even attempt to cross the water.
Yeah?
He'll be stopped between the river and this chasm.
Well, maybe so, but how are you getting across?
I'm going to get my horse to jump it.
Well, that's suicide.
It's the only way.
Well, even if you do make it, even if I'm fool enough to follow you, how do we get the dogs across?
I've got that figured out, Gorman. We'll stretch a rope across this chasm and tie it tight between my horse and yours.
Well, I suppose we can hitch both ends to the saddle of each horse and get them to pull it taut. But then what?
Well, there's some bacon in my food pack. I'm going to grease that rope with the bacon.
I don't get you yet, Trail. How does that get the dogs across?
Easy as pie, Gorman. We tie each dog with a second rope and loop it around the one that's stretched across this chasm.
Yeah?
Then we give each dog a shove, and he slides right across. Now, when he gets to my side, I let the dog go.
Trail, you're a genius. You get stuck by a chasm, so you make yourself your own hanging trolley car out of a rope. You got a head on your shoulders.
Well, there's no time to lose. Will you tie the dogs?
Sure.
All right, then. I'm going to jump. Now, when I get on the other side, I'll toss you half my rope. Then you can hook up the line across.
Mighty smart idea. Trail, I'll tell you what. If you make the leap, why, by golly, I'll take my chance, too.
Okay, Gorman. First me. Come on, now. Come on, boy. All right, boy. Steady now, steady. Now, let's go. Jump, boy. Jump for your life.
Wait
a minute. First, I've got to grease the line. Then we get the dogs over.
I'm with you all the way, Trail. Don't worry about me pitching in.
Then you come over. And when we're all on this side, the chase starts again.
Quite some trick, Trail. I can't get over it. I never saw that done before, sliding dogs across on a greased line like one of them overhead ski trains.
Forget the compliments, Gorman. We've got to get that cat. Look, the sun's beginning to drop toward the west. I've got to get him back to that sheep ranch before...
Trail, look, the river. Whisperfoot's at the edge of it, afraid to cross like you said.
The dogs are closing in on him. He'll make for that tree, I'm sure.
Yeah, up he goes. They treat him. He can't get on.
Quick, Gorman. Come on after him. So we meet at last.
Well, remember now, no guns. You must take him alive.
I know.
How can we do it? He'll rip us to pieces if we get close enough.
Only one way, Gorman. Look, the tree's on the edge of the river. Now, if it's chopped down correctly, it'll land in the river. The cat will be afraid of getting wet, so we'll hang onto the tree. He'll be marooned, helpless in the middle of the river.
I get it. Then we can lasso him easy. Tie him to the tree and carry it off between our horses.
That's the general idea.
But who's going to do the chopping?
I am.
But Trail, you'll be right under him. Supposing he decides to come out of that tree and springs at you.
Gorman, That's the chance I've got to take.
Trail, be careful! Whisperfoot looks as if he's going to jump out of that tree!
I'm almost through the tree now!
Hey!
There it goes, Gorman! It's falling into the river! Get your lasso ready, Gorman! We can't afford to miss now! The sun will be down in an hour!
You ask me, Alan. It's time.
Yep. Sun'll be down in a couple of minutes.
Please, please give Mark Trail a little more time. He'll be here soon. I know he will.
We made a bargain at Trail, Miss Cherry. We're going to keep our side of it.
Harkins, stand handy against that fence.
Right. You ready, Alan?
Ready.
No, no, don't. Please, don't.
Out of my way, Miss Davis. It'll be over with one shot.
Andy looks up at Mr. Allen, his eyes pleading for his life. Soon you will learn what happens, so keep listening.
Now, about that little mystery automobile. You can get a real scale model 1950 Ford and make it go without touching it, winding it, or pushing any buttons. You see, with your car, there's a special mystery control ring. Simply hide the ring under your fingers, wave your hand over the car, and presto! The car will follow your hand like magic. It has no batteries, no motor. And yet, without touching it, you can make it go fast or slow, forward or backward. It's terrific. Now, to get your MagnaPower Ford and Mystery Control ring, just send your name and address with 25 cents and one box top from Kellogg's Pep to Kellogg's, Box 400, New York, 46, New York. And while you're waiting, you can have fun eating marvelous, molly-flavored Pep. Now, that address is Kellogg's, Box 400, New York, 46, New York. You'll sure have fun with your MagnaPower Ford. No wonder folks all say, if you want to have your fun and eat it too,
pick Pep the prize package with the powerful powerhouse punch. Pick Pep.
Mark Trail's St. Bernard Andy, accused of murdering sheep, looks up at the rifle held in Frank Allen's hands. Allen takes careful aim, and then...
Harkins, grab a hold of him! That dog's gone crazy! He won't stand still!
Someone's coming, and Andy knows it. That's why he's jumping around. Someone's coming!
Who?
Listen! It's Mark! Mark Trail! See him coming over that rise?
By George, Harkins, it is! Hey, what's the horse dragging behind him?
Looks like the best part of a tree.
Oh, no, it's more than just a tree. Something's tied to it. Harkins, do you see what I see?
It's Whisperfoot. Mark Trail's bringing back Whisperfoot.
Cherry, am I in time? Is Andy all right?
Oh, Mark, you're just in time.
Jerry, know what that is?
Whippoorwill, I say, Mark.
Good for you. But you know, there are lots of bird calls you'd never recognize. The calls of rare birds who are almost extinct.
On Friday, Mark visits a sanctuary for rare birds. But he also comes face to face with a dangerous killer who takes careful aim at Mark before he pulls the trigger. Tune in same time, same station on Friday and find out what happens to...
Mark Trail!
Battling the raging elements, fighting the savage wilderness, striking at the enemies of man and nature, one man's name resounds from snow-capped mountains down across the sun-baked plains.
Mark Trail!
Remember, Remember to tune in then on Friday when Mark Trail will again be brought to you by the build-up wheat cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
This program is entirely fictitious. The resemblance of any name, personality, or incident to an actual person or event is merely coincidental. This program came to you from New York. Mark Trail by Ed Dodd also appears in the comics of many of America's leading newspapers. Look for it daily and Sunday. Stay tuned now for Tom Mix and his Straight Shooters. Today's Mark Trail was written by Max Ehrlich, directed by Drex Hines. Matt Crowley portrays Mark Trail, and Amy Sedell is Cherry. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Mark Trail going the distance once again to set things right in the great outdoors in a story called Killing Sheep from February 15, 1950. Right around the corner, it's Duffy's Tavern with a celebration in the works. As old-time radio drama continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tonight, guest Pat O'Brien stops by the tavern to help celebrate Duffy's 33rd wedding anniversary. Duffy, of course, like some other literary characters, never shows up. We never see or hear Duffy through the long run of Duffy's Tavern. It's Archie who holds sway. Tonight, will he show up? See what you think. We'll have some attendees who try to put a positive spin on their speeches about Duffy on his 33rd anniversary. This is Duffy's Tavern, starring Ed Gardner, from March 15, 1945.
Again this week, during the Danny Kaye absence, we present another great comedy cast. Tonight,
we take you now to Duffy's Tavern.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you eat meat to eat? Archie, the man you're speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Big crowd here tonight. Oh, yeah. Three Drink O'Reilly, Foulmouth Flaherty. Yeah, and that quiet-talking Irish guy, Pat O'Brien. Yeah, the Irish Hush. Yeah, you seen him in the movies, Duffy. You know, real he-man. Broad-shouldered and rugged and powerful and... Yet with that certain something about him that the other guy always gets the dame. Yeah. Hey, what time you coming down, Duffy? Well, tonight is the big dinner. Your 33rd wedding anniversary. You forgot about it. Your memory's getting shorter since Mrs. Duffy's been beating you over the head with that baseball bat. Well, you better not let her know you forgot this one, or instead of a short memory, you'll wind up with a tall memorial. I'll call you back.
Thank you.
Duffy's Tavern, where we find Clifton Finnegan, Miss Duffy, Eddie the waiter, Clancy the cop, Matty Melnick and his orchestra, our guest star tonight, Pat O'Brien, and Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Okay, Eddie, we got to get ready for the Duffy's party now. Let's slip this sandbag on top of this beer keg here.
Right.
Good. Now, we add to it this 300-pound sack of flour. Let's see, altogether, it's 400 pounds. Ready? Lift.
Woo! That ain't no use, Mr. Archer. That beer keg just won't hold 400 pounds.
Hmm. Where is Mrs. Duffy gonna sit?
Yes, sir. You know, that Mrs. Duffy is always a big seating problem.
And every year, the problem gets bigger. What a big behemoth. I wonder what she does weigh.
Just a second, Archie. Maybe Mama is a little heavy, but she's built in perfect proportion.
Look what rode in on a broom here. Miss Duffy, your mother has perfect proportion?
Certainly. She has fat hips and fat legs, but don't forget that's balanced by the fact that she has a very fat face.
Oh.
Eddie, do you think my mother looks so very fat?
Well, Miss Duffy, I'm in no position to say.
What do you mean, in no position to say?
Well, if I say it, I won't have no position.
Look, will you stop about your mother, Miss Duffy? You can't make a zephyr out of a heifer. Holy cat, the 33rd anniversary. You know, it's hard to believe that with so many people in the world that them two married each other.
Now, just a second, Archie. It was true love. From the day they first met in Ireland.
Oh, they met in Ireland? I never knew that.
Yeah, at Blarney Castle.
Blarney Castle, huh?
Yeah. Papa and some friends had gone to visit the castle, and that's where the whole thing started.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. Papa thought he was kissing the Blarney Stone, and it turned out to be Mama.
How quaint. Well, look, Eddie, we better get busy with the anniversary party. Did that new chef finish the cake yet?
Yeah, he finished it.
Well, how is it?
Well, it started... I started... Oh, hey, that gives me an idea.
What?
That's what Mrs. Duffy can sit on.
On the anniversary cake? Well, it's an idea, but first, maybe we better blow out the candles, huh? Now, come on, let's get busy. We still got a lot of loose ends here.
What?
Well, hello, Finnegan. Welcome to the party. What did you do? Come stag?
No, I walked.
Finnegan, stag means a guy that ain't got a girl.
The stag's a guy that ain't got a girl?
Well, you know, it's a figment of speech. Real stag looks like that moose head over there.
No wonder he ain't got a girl.
Oh, forget it. What do you got under your arm there?
Oh, that's an anniversary present for Duffy.
Oh, and did you bring one for Mrs. Duffy?
Why, is it her anniversary, too?
Well, naturally.
Boy, she horns in on everything. Hey, Arch, look, will you take a look at this present I bought? I want to ask you something about it.
Okay, let's see it. Nice present. Why'd you want to ask me about it?
What is it?
Why, It's obvious. Don't you know what it is?
No.
Well, then why did you buy it?
The man said you couldn't get him no more.
Well, that's very interesting. Eddie, look, did you ever see one of these?
Sure. That's a waffle iron.
Hey, you see, Finnegan, it's a waffle iron. Maybe after this, you'll take my word for things.
Well, good evening, boys.
Well, hello, Officer Clancy. Glad to see you. Have a little something to heighten the color of your nose?
Don't mind if I do. Say, what's that?
Oh, that's Duffy's anniversary present, Clancy. It's a thing you iron waffles with.
Clancy, did you get the Duffys a present?
Naturally. After all, I was at their wedding.
Yeah, that's right, Clancy. You was there when the battle started, wasn't you? Tell me, how did Duffy act? I'll bet he was scared, huh?
No, as I remember, he was quite brave. Took it like a man. Except for one tense moment when it looked like he was going to break and run.
When was that?
When he heard the words, "You may kiss the bride."
Hello? Oh, hello, Duffy. Hey, we're waiting for you. What's keeping you? You fighting with Mrs. Duffy? About what? Oh, she found out you forgot about the anniversary and she's letting you have it, huh? What's she hitting you with? Everything but the... Hello?
What was that?
The kitchen sink. Sounds like Mrs. Duffy is rather provoked.
Well, hello, hello, hello. As Gene Autry said to a pair of his pants, how are you, chaps?
Well, well, well. Our old pal, Sir Heathcliff, the comedian. I thought I told you to stay out of here.
As the cow said to the milkmaid, I didn't expect such a cold hand.
Well, wait a minute, Heathcliff. Tonight is Duffy's anniversary party. Do you know any Irish jokes?
Irish jokes? Of course, old boy. As the dog said when he walked out of the flea circus, I've got a million of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen to this one. It seems there were two Irishmen, Pat and Mike. Pat said to Mike, Mike, my sister is marrying a fine Irish lad. So Mike said, oh, really? And Pat said, no, O'Reilly.
Tonight the corn is green. Heathcliff, why don't you get a partner called Abner so you can do an act called Crumb and Abner? Oh, really? No, O'Reilly.
Mr. Archie, Mr. O'Brien's on his way in.
Oh, good. Fellas, come on. Pat's here. Finnegan, Clancy, leave us give him some real Irish atmosphere,
okay.
Huh?
Tora, Lora, Lora. Tora, Lora, Lora. Tora, Lora, Lora. That's my wild Irish roll.
Finnegan.
Oh, yeah. Tora, Lora.
What goes on here?
Oh, it's just a little welcome for you, Pat. Fellas, look, it's Pat O'Brien. Well, well, Pat, the top of the morning to you.
Thank you, and the back of Makushla to you.
Well, I'm glad you finally got here, me fair spalpeen. You ain't been down here to the tavern in quite a while. How come?
Let's call it the luck of the Irish.
Pat, that is no way for an Irishman to talk. After all, don't forget, you're one of Duffy's own launchmen.
Yes. By the way, where is Duffy?
He's home.
He's smart.
Now, wait a minute, O'Brien. The way you wrap this joint, I'm wondering if you're an Irishman at that.
How would you like a healthy punch in the nose?
Don't evade the question. Are you sure you're Irish?
Yes, I'm Irish.
Then why wasn't you and going my way?
Archie, what kind of talk is this? Accusing an O'Brien of not being an Irishman.
Thank you, officer.
Why, I've never seen a finer figure of an Irishman.
That's very nice of you, officer.
Sure, me and the wife has admired you for these many years.
Thank you, officer.
How's chances of getting me in pictures?
You in pictures, Clancy?
And why not? They always have them parts in pictures, them thick-headed cops. Why should they hire actors when in a man like me they can get the real thing?
No, that would be carrying reality too far.
Where's me club? Archie, explain that remark.
Now, Clancy, I merely meant that you would be perfect as a thick-headed cop.
Oh, well, that's different.
Your apology is accepted.
Oh, it's Mr. O'Brien.
Yeah? Archie, where do these things come from? Out of the woodwork?
Well, sometimes. Other times, we just drop them from the chandelier.
That's right. By the way, Mr. O'Brien, that Margaret O'Brien, is that your wife?
Pennington. Margaret O'Brien, she's only 7 years old.
Yeah. They said the same thing about Shirley Temple, and what did she turn out to be? A married woman.
You got a point there.
Hello, Mr. O'Brien. I'm Miss Duffy, my parents' attractive daughter.
Brother, this joint is a nest of them.
Miss Darcy, the phone.
Yeah, okay, I'll be right with you, Pat. Hello? Oh, hello, Mrs. Duffy. No, he didn't come down here. What's the matter? You sound scared. He did? Well, I'll see if I can find him. Oh, sure. Well, keep a stiff upper chin. Hey, Eddie, Duffy has disappeared. Mrs. Duffy says he threatened to go out and kill himself.
Now, I don't believe it.
Why?
Why should he go out to kill himself when Mrs. Duffy could render him the same service at home?
Well, you never can tell about that guy. I better see if I can find him. Let's see. I'll call his lodge. Hello? County Cork Culture Club? Is Duffy there? A bald guy. No, huh?
Maybe he was blackballed.
Will you cut out the crummy jokes, Heathcliff? Let's see. Where else could he be? Hello? O'Rourke's Turkish Baths? Is Duffy there? He ain't. Well, this is Archie. I'm trying to find him. Who's this? Oh, hello, Abdo. Huh? Yeah, I know, but I'll be in. Well, you know, I've been kind of busy lately. Huh? Oh, no, I ain't taking no baths no place else. Yeah, I'll be in. Okay. Nice guy, that Abdo O'Rourke. Now, where could that Duffy have gone so well?
Say, Archie, not that it all hasn't been horrible, but it's getting late and...
Oh, look, Pat, you can't leave now. I'm going to need you.
No, I'm sorry, Archie.
Look, if I tell you a secret, will you promise not to tell it to another human being in this joint?
Not even if I meet one.
Man, listen. Duffy has disappeared.
Who?
Duffy, the owner of this place. He's planning to kill himself.
The only decent thing for him to do.
Hey, Archie, when do we eat?
You hear that, Pat? We got to start the dinner. Now, these guys is all Duffy's loyal friends and bore him beautiful presents, you know. And if we don't give them the dinner, they'll all take their presents home. So what do you say, Pat? Will you help me?
What do you want me to do?
Well, I want you to stay for the dinner and read a poem that I wrote.
A poem that you wrote?
Yeah.
Okay, show me the wall.
It ain't wrote on no wall. It's wrote here on a hunk of paper. Here, look it over.
Say, Archie, when do we eat?
In a minute.
Say, pass me the sauce, please.
Yeah, here you are.
Let me have a hunk of bread.
Would you mind to pass me the butter?
Here.
Finnegan, that's no way to eat celery.
Sorry, Arch. Hey, this pig's knuckle looks beautiful.
Finnegan, let go of me hand.
Oh. Fellas, will you please watch your decorums here? Hey, Pat, you're not eating.
Want me to wind up in Forest Lawn?
Oh, come on. Try them pickled pig's feet. They're our specialty. Finnegan, pass Mr. O'Brien a pig's foot.
The pig's foot? What do you have, Mr. O'Brien, a left or a right?
Well, see if you can get him to walk by, and I'll decide.
Hey, Eddie, any word about Duffy yet?
No.
Oh, I can't. There's one more call I could make, but well, I guess I got it. Hello? City Morgue? Look, have you got a rigor mortis there named Duffy? No, huh? Thanks. Well, he ain't there yet. I wonder where the guy can be. Well, we can't hold it up no longer. We better start the speeches. Okay, quiet, folks. Now, I want to welcome you one and all to Duffy's 33rd anniversary party. The Duffys ain't here yet, pending their lack of arrival. However, they are represented by their lifelong daughter, Miss Duffy.
I thank you, dear people, in the name of Mom and Papa, whom are the parents, the daughter of whose I am proud to be the offspring. I thank you.
A lovely sentiment, Miss Duffy. Now, our next speaker will be Sir Heathcliff Batterswick.
I have never met Mr. Duffy personally, which reminds me of a story. It seems there were two Irishmen named Pat and Mike.
And now our next speaker. Our next speaker will be that brave and fearless minion of the law, Officer Clancy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have known Mr. Duffy for the last 40 years. And I can truthfully say that in this whole neighborhood, there is not one man that I've known longer, I thank you.
Clancy, that was really a beautiful tribute. And now a word from one of Duffy's loyalist employees, Eddie the Waiter.
Ladies and gentlemen, I worked for Mr. Duffy for a good many years. Now, he ain't the sort of man who throws money around or wastes it or even spends it. But underneath it all, he's got a good heart, I suppose. I thank you.
I hope Duffy's hearing all of this wherever he is. And now another one of Duffy's admirers, Mr. Clifton Finnegan.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say that everything I am today, or ever was, or ever will be, I owe to my dear mother.
Yes. Yes, folks. And I'm sure that many more of Duffy's loyal friends would like to eulogize him also. Thousands of them. But I'm afraid that time permits. So we will proceed to the big piece of resistance of the evening, a poem wrote by me and recited by Mr. Pat O'Brien.
Happy anniversary, Mr. and Mrs. Duffy. Yous have weathered weather both stormy and roughy. Through sunshine and foul, in sickness and rain, for 33 years, yous have stuck as a twain. You love your wife, Duffy. I've oft seen you hug her, although she might kiss you back with a Louisville slugger. She's still your whole world, although when you did mate her, she was not quite so lumpy around the equator. So we send you greetings from old Duffy's Tavern. Such marriages are only made up in Havern. Over each other for years did you drool. May it go on forever like a time capsule.
Very good. Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas. Oh, excuse me. Hello? Oh, hello, Mrs. Duffy. Huh? You found him? Where? Out on the window ledge. He's threatening to jump. Well, look, maybe I can talk him out of it. Reach the phone out to him. Fellas, it looks like he wasn't kidding. Hello? Hello, Duffy? Duffy, get in off of that ledge. But, Duffy, Duffy, don't talk like that. But, Duffy, once you're dead, life ain't worth living. Huh? No, that's not true, Duffy. No, everybody loves you. Well, so what if a person's wife does slug him once in a while? She's got to have some fun in life, too. You're still going to... Duffy, please. Look, wait just 1 minute. Hey, Pat, quick. Sing him an Irish song. Maybe it'll divert the guy.
Okay, give me the phone. I'll sing him McSorley's Twins.
Okay, Duffy, listen to this.
Now, Mrs. McSorley had fine, pretty twins. Two fat little devils they were. With the squalling and bawling from morning till night, it would deafen you, I do declare. Be me salt was a caution, the way they would scream, like the blast of a fisherman's horn. Says McSorley, not one blessed hour have I slept since them two little devils was born. With the dancing and prancing the whole blessed night, they could hardly stand up on their pins. Ah, what an elegant time at the christening we had of McSorley's two beautiful twins.
And now the second verse, Duffy. Hello? Hello?
Give me that phone, quick. Hello? I thought so. He jumped. Well, fellas, we better get down there quick and condone Mrs. Duffy. Now, come on. Hey, wait a minute. I just thought of something.
What?
They live on the ground floor. He was just doing a whole dirty trick to scare his wife.
I know, but doesn't Mrs. Duffy know they live on the ground floor?
No, when they moved in, they had to heist it through the window like a piano. She didn't know what floor they lived on. Look, Pat, I'm sorry. The whole thing was a hoax, you know, but you was very sweet to help us out, so if you want to blow now, we won't keep you here no longer.
Oh, shut up, Archie. I'm going to get him to like this crummy joint. Come on, boys. Let's get on with the party. How about a little song?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Shannon Flaw.
The Armed Forces Radio Service.
The answer, of course, is no. Duffy never does show up. He remains that unheard voice on the phone at the beginning of each episode of Duffy's Tavern. There, vicariously celebrating his 33rd anniversary in a broadcast from March 15, 1945. We have a case for the FBI next, the FBI in Peace and War. It's right after this. You're listening to Old Time Radio Drama on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.